This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, with your hosts, Nate Milton.
Yes! That boy's good!
And Marcus Vandenberg.
Let's say!
So sit back and relax, because you're now down with the Kings.
Down with the King for years, about 10 of them. Recruiting suckers, Mac and Mike and making men of them.
And welcome to the Kings of Sport, the program that's changing the game one show at a time, a.k.a. the world's most dangerous sports show, a.k.a. iTunes' longest-running weekly episodic podcast produced and hosted by two or more African-Americans that are not affiliated with a major network. I am the Godfather, Nate Milton, joined as always by my partner in crime and the man that's got more bylines than Nicki Minaj has butt. The editor of Yahoo Sports, Marcus Vandenberg. What's going on, brother?
That was creative.
I was trying to spice up the intro a little bit.
Yeah, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. It's been a good week. This week we actually get to talk sports, so that's a blessing.
You mean the Kings of Sport are talking sports? Who would have thunk it?
No, we're not the Kings of Social Commentary this week. But shout out to everybody that did send us feedback on last week's episode. But this week, yeah, we got plenty of pro and college football to talk about, some fantasy football, and then a cornucopia of ratchetness in segment four to get into this week. But before we do all that, how was your week, man? I know we talked a little bit on Sunday, which was the evening of our fantasy football draft, which we'll talk about later. But other than that, how you been, man?
Good. Went to Disneyland last week.
You stay at Disneyland, man.
Well, I went to Disney World, so I stay in Disney properties, but I haven't been to Disneyland in almost a year. But yeah, we went for the day, which is cool. And then this past weekend, speaking of places where I stay, I went back to Las Vegas for Yahoo Sports at their national draft day for fantasy football at the Hard Rock Hotel. So I was out there for that over the weekend and got back on Sunday, and I was trying to get back in time for our fantasy draft at 2 o'clock, and I made it just in time.
Why didn't we hold the draft on National Draft Day? Now that I think about it,
yeah, that is a fair point. But it was also Saturday afternoon. I mean, people had, you know, to be honest, people have stuff to do usually Saturday. It was during like the middle of the day, so.
Okay. Yeah. So how was the party? Was it? Was it a big deal? Were there any famous names or famous faces that you bumped shoulders with?
No. I mean, I guess the most famous person in the room would be Sean King, former Tampa Bay quarterback, who is a analyst for us and also for NBC Sports. But, you know, it was mostly these were just fans who were traveling to Las Vegas with their buddies to do their draft in person as opposed to doing it via the computer, or some guys are doing it also via the program itself, but a lot of it was the interaction in person.
Well, let's go ahead and get the mention out of the way for this week. You were in Vegas, and it was a fantasy football gathering. Was there an Alfred Kunnel sighting?
There was not an Alfred Kunnel sighting.
How great would that have been?
Hey, Alfred.
you just turn around, and there's Alfred.
Yeah.
Getting drunk on Yahoo's dime.
Now, my fiance mentioned, or Alfred mentioned, she's catching on to the fact that we mentioned him and wants to show now.
It's our way of keeping him in the program.
Keeping his presence alive.
But, so we got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. Let's start in the world of professional football, though. Preseason is over. Hallelujah.
Nope. One more week.
Damn it. I thought, watching this boring 49ers-Cardinals game on, what was it, Sunday night, I thought that I was done with preseason football. No. But, yeah, okay, so I got one more week of this.
And this week, you're not going to see any starters play, so it's going to be really dreadful football.
I remember one year when the Falcons were 4-0 in the preseason. We didn't even make the playoffs, man. Don't tell me these games. Other than the people that are getting cut, these games don't matter.
Yeah, they only matter for individual players. As a narrative for what your team is going to do this upcoming season, no, it doesn't matter.
But there are some things that matter, so let's get into the wonderful world of the National Football League. And I guess we can start where everybody else seems to be starting, and that's Michael Sam, currently of the St. Louis Rams.
Did you watch his week 3 performance against the Cleveland Browns?
I saw the sack and the money sign.
I am surprised the money sign didn't draw more attention. No one really mentioned it the day after, which is good.
I don't know if it was like people's, because you had this perfect storm of controversy and controversial players, quote unquote. So it's like, do people's dislike of Michael Sam and his lifestyle, does that get outweighed by people's dislike of Johnny Manziel's personality?
I think it's a wash. It just evens out.
But yeah, like I guess the big news out of that game was Brian Hoyer is your starting quarterback for week 1 of the NFL season. Go crazy, Cleveland. But there was also some dirty stories coming out about one Michael Sam, Marcus.
Yeah. ESPN had a report on Tuesday from Rams training camp. And the story, unfortunately, was about Michael Sam and sort of was he fitting with his new St. Louis teammates. And one of the subjects that came up was Michael Sam's showering habits. And Justin Anderson, unfortunately, had to give a report about whether teammates had spotted Michael Sam showering with his teammates, because, you know, that's very important news. And let's see here. Anderson said an unnamed defensive player claimed Sam was waiting to take a shower as to not make his teammates feel uncomfortable, which the players found as a way of respecting our space. Which means keep your penis away from my penis because your penis is gay. Let's just just cut to the crap here. And also, Anderson said Rams defenders Kendall Langford and Alex Ogletree told her that they hadn't noticed and weren't tracking his showering habits. Michael Sam is really funky, or he's just taking showers by himself.
Yeah. Yeah, I was like, and Chris Long, I guess, sent out a tweet. Dear ESPN, everyone but you is over it.
Yeah. So, great.
What a ridiculous story. Like, I'm not one of those people that piles on ESPN. I think they're, you know, the best at what they do, and you can question their motivations sometimes. But this is an example of why somebody ESPN and the type of stories that they promote. I don't know about you, Marcus. Growing up, did you play football or baseball, any team sports like that?
Basketball mostly. I didn't play football.
Okay, see, I played football in high school, a little bit in college, and I played baseball in college as well. So, you know, in terms of the showering aspect of it, it wasn't the most comfortable thing as a straight man in a room full of straight men. Like, it, gay, straight, whatever. Like, showering with a bunch of big dudes, it's not... It's not going to be the most comfortable situation anyway. You
so
know,
it's not romantic?
No, it's not romantic at all. I never looked at the offensive lineman and was like, just I wish you would just pick me up like Kevin Costner picked up Whitney Houston in the bodyguard and carry me to safety. It was never anything like that. It wasn't a situation where I was looking at the guy next to me. I was in there trying to get as clean as possible, as quickly as possible, and out of there, you know, with the least amount of embarrassment or awkwardness.
The irony in all this is, in the body issue of ESPN the magazine, David Fleming did this whole story, a great story, sort of about what you mentioned, sort of the culture when it comes to showering in the locker room. And it basically tells the same story that you got a bunch of big dudes with BO walking around, and it's not a comfortable place, you know. And teams purposely don't make it a comfortable place because they want you to get in and get out, and that's it. So the fact that this is even being a question that's, you know, being raised, it's just like, I mean, come on. Like, at some point, we got to just move on. And no one asked Jason Collins in the Brooklyn Nets, oh, is Jason showering a few guys? You know, that, who cares?
Yeah, I know some people's exposure to the football locker room may only be through TV or movies, but this isn't like Remember the Titans. We're not in there with towels and bars of soap singing Motown songs. Like, it's not that type of party. You go in, you get cleaned, you get out.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it. That's all you do. Like, I never saw in my many years of playing football, you know, there was never an impromptu rendition of Ain't No Mountain High Enough. There was never, you know, it never broke into a High School Musical dance number. It was none of that. You know, in fact, when we were on the road, I don't even think we took showers when we were on the road. Like, when we had road games, as soon as the game was over, we met in the locker room, did what we had to do. We got out there. We got out. And some guys would take a shower when we got back to the school, but for the most part, we just go home and shower.
That's a funky bus ride.
It was, especially after a loss. I think Coach did that on purpose, though, especially after the loss. He'd be like, you see how you smell now, gentlemen? That's how you played out there. So, but yeah, this is just another layer to the kind of onion of ridiculousness that surrounds Michael Sam. I think the most important question, and it's a question that we've been talking about this entire time, Marcus, is does he make the team? Has his performance on the field garnered him a spot on that 53-man roster?
Yeah, I mean, he's recorded a couple sacks. Those sacks have come in when the second string and third string guys have been in against him. So it's hard to really say, you know, how impressive those stats were, but he still recorded them. You know, I think in the end, it's going to come down to a numbers game with St. Louis and their defense. And I still think he's going to start off with the training, with the practice squad, just because they're pretty deep at defensive line, defense end. And I just, unless someone gets hurt between now and next week or the 30th when final cuts are made, then I see him being a practice squad guy.
I think he makes the squad because I think if you got two guys that are, you know, in the same position and the margin between them is razor thin, I think Michael Sam gets the benefit of the doubt. And maybe this is a situation where his lifestyle helps him. Because, you know, I think either way, there's going to be discussion about the decision they make. But if you got a marginal dude and you got Michael Sam, who's pretty marginal himself, and you go with this marginal nameless dude over Michael Sam, I think that you're going to get a little bit more blowback from those that are in Michael Sam's camp and those that support him.
Well, the problem is they don't have a lot of marginal dudes. They have 8 linemen pretty much that are going to be locked in for the roster. So if they wanted keep a 9th lineman, he's competing against an undrafted free agent, Ethan Westbrook, who, according to a lot of stuff I've read, has outplayed Michael Sam up to this point. So it's just a matter of how deep they want to go at defensive lineman. If they want to stay at 8, then there's no shot he's going to make the 8 and make the team. But if they want to add additional body, then he still has to compete against another guy and in hopes of making a team. So it'll be tough.
Yeah, I think either way it'll be tough, but you know, I'd like to see him make the team if no other reason than NFL showers are a lot better than those practice facility showers.
No, they've been showering most well. It is game day. They've been showering at the.
They got the good. They got the faucet. You know what I'm saying? With the rotating head, you could switch the frequency and the intensity of the water.
He came from college. He's used to showering at college facilities or non-pro facilities.
They got the low flow faucets, the same water, Marcus. That's just, NFL showers is where it's at, man. Well, let's go from one guy who some people say is a locker room distraction to someone who definitely was a locker room distraction, and that is Richie Incognito, who I guess has been going around talking to some teams, Marcus.
Yeah, he's been cleared to return to the NFL. And Tampa Bay was the team that was rumored to be taking on Incognito, but in a twist, they made an interesting trade today with the New England Patriots trading for Logan Mankins, a Pro Bowler offensive lineman, for tight end Tim Wright and a future draft pick. So they have shored up their offensive line spot. So I don't know if they're going to still pursue Incognito now. They really don't have a need for him. So maybe there's another team out there that will take a look at him now that he's cleared. But, you know, I haven't heard much from Jonathan Martin this training camp. I'm not sure what his status is in terms of next season. But I believe I said that Incognito would be playing in the league before Jonathan Martin did. And it might happen.
It might, because the NFL, you know, for all the negatives you might want to say against the league, it's a meritocracy. You know, if you're a racist, if you're an idiot, if you beat your wife, if you take drugs, if you can play, somebody's going to find a way to get you on a team. And Richie Incognito, you know, he may be a less than stellar human being, but he is a pretty good guard. The Tampa Bay Bucks don't need him anymore because, like you mentioned, they acquired Logan Mankins, which I think is a interesting deal for both sides. You get a Tampa Bay and new coach Lovie Smith gets a Pro Bowl lineman, and Bill Belichick, the genius that he is, gets draft picks and players that nobody's really heard of, which is kind of his deal. But I like this deal for Tampa Bay. I think it's a tough division, that NFC South, but I think Lovie Smith can do some things to change the culture, and it's not like he's following the toughest act. It's not like he's following Lombardi.
Yeah, no, he's not. They're going to rely more on, I guess, Austin Seraph and Jenkins at tight end. So they really have two rookies that they're going to lead on heavily on the offensive side with Mike Evans and now Seraph and Jenkins. So they might be concerned a bit, but both those guys are big dudes, 6'5". So it'll be easy targets for Josh McCown. So, and, you know, you got a healthy Doug Martin back. You got Mike James, who really developed into a decent running back, along with Bobby Rainey last year when Martin got hurt. So they have some weapons on the offensive side to go along with Vincent Jackson. So they might be halfway decent this year, a lot better than last year.
So, you know, when you talk about Lovie Smith, you talk about a guy that has familiarity with this Tampa Bay organization as a disciple of Tony Dungy. I think he brings a lot of energy into this team. The defense is going to get some improvement. So, I'm really interested in seeing what they can do in this tough division. Richie Incognito, on the other hand, he may not get the shot with Tampa Bay, but you mentioned you see him back in the league before Jonathan Martin. Do you see him back in the league this season?
I do. I don't know where. I just think it depends on injuries and who needs an offensive lineman. But it looks like Martin started the third preseason game for San Francisco, so he should be making the final roster. I'm not sure if he's going to start once the season begins, but looks like he'll have a job in the fall. So I might be wrong here, but I'm not sure who needs an offensive lineman besides Tampa Bay. So I think at some point he will make the team, and I don't see him being a distraction this season going forward.
No, he's going to be on his best behavior or his best behavior for you. His best behavior for Richie Incognito. It's interesting, though. You know, you talk about Incognito, you talk about Martin, and you talk about Michael Sam. And, you know, just a few months ago, you would have said none of these guys would be on a roster. Now there's a shot that all three of these guys could make that final cut.
Yeah, it's funny how the NFL works out when it comes to injuries and just having healthy bodies. And, you know, on paper, it looks like you're going to keep your solid 53. But, you know, once training camp starts and shit hits the fan and people start going down, then all of a sudden the guys who are sort of on the fringes look a lot more desirable. And those guys like Incognito start to get phone calls, and you never know.
Yeah, you never know. And speaking of injuries, Wes Welker from the Denver Broncos suffered a concussion, which – you never want to celebrate anybody's injury, especially when it comes to head injuries. But I think that this may have an impact on our fantasy football season, Marcus. And that's what we'll talk about to end off the segment. As I mentioned earlier, we had our fantasy draft on Sunday night, the Briscoe Sanders Fantasy Football League, powered by the Kings of Sport. Marcus decided to come back, and we got some characters in this league, don't we?
Characters is a good way to describe them. I would say losers, but characters sounds better. Sure.
Like, people tell me, like, I've had ex-girlfriends tell me I take fantasy sports too seriously. And I see some of the people in our league.
Characters.
Some characters in particular. And I'm like, if they only knew how deep this fantasy football thing goes.
By the way, this league is not for money. We should point this out.
No, not for money. But it is for funny sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, we've got one gentleman in particular who shall remain nameless that cuts promos regularly on the message boards.
Some call it promos. I call it... Nah, I'm not going to go there.
Not going to go there?
No.
You know what? I was thinking about this individual the other day, Marcus, after the draft.
Manifestos, I would say.
Manifestos, okay. Tirades, perhaps?
Threats.
But I was thinking about this particular individual, and I know this isn't the case. The most diabolical revenge in the history of love. If this person turned out to be one of my ex-girlfriends who was just screwing with me.
If that was the case, I would marry her because she really knows her fantasy football.
That she would be like, maybe she was like, okay, he loves fantasy football so much, I'm going to screw with the thing he loves the most and beat him and taunt him mercifully on his own league.
That'd be impressive.
That would be impressive. Like, and women do have that capacity for diabolicalness.
Yeah, you don't have to tell me.
But we did get our drafts, and I gotta say I'm not a shill for Yahoo. They're not paying me, but I gotta say Yahoo top notch with the draft. Like, they made it feel like you were actually in a war room, so to speak. Like, I was waiting for my pick. I had the 7th and 9th picks in the first round due to a trade I made last year, and while I'm waiting. So you're sitting as pick 7. Who do you want? Jimmy Graham may be available in your league. Like, way to go, Yahoo.
What's your team name?
We're the regular team. I may change the name, but for right now, we're the regular team.
Okay. Oh, you also got an A in your draft grade.
Yeah, I had a pretty good. We got Drew Brees, Jimmy Graham, Doug Martin, like you mentioned earlier. I've got DeMarco Murray, and I got Tom Brady on the bench, who may or may not end the season with my team.
And where did you draft Michael Vick?
I drafted Michael Vick out of sympathy. that was a sympathy pick all the way.
You're far too loyal to your Hampton Roads area.
But I mean, the thing is, are you counting on Geno Smith going all 8 games? And
you got Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
What I'm saying is,
no,
Drew Brees,
no.
You're not following the method to my madness, Marcus.
This is a one quarterback lead, right?
Right. With Drew Brees as my starter.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a week where I need a backup.
1 week.
So Brady is probably going to get moved here in the future. Because, I mean, Tom Brady's too good to just sit on the bench all year. I can get some value out of him. Tom Brady's going to get moved. So I need another guy to fill in for that 1 week. And I'm banking on Geno Smith not being around for that week because he was playing so terribly. And Michael Vick, healthy, will have a good game that 1 week.
That's a lot for 1 week of fantasy football. When there are a bunch of capable free agent quarterbacks on the waiver wire.
I mean, I could have been just like everybody else and picked up Andy Dalton and been safe, or Joe Flacco. But why do that? Why be safe, Marcus?
You're too loyal.
Hey, it could have been worse. I could have picked up Sam Bradford.
That's true. He went undrafted, I think. I hope.
For good reason.
Yeah.
Like, I like Sam Bradford, but he's just very injury prone, and I think this may be the beginning of the end for Sam Bradford as a starting quarterback.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. I mean, two ACL tears. That's not good. He can come back from it, but he'll never be the same, unfortunately. Not that he relied on his legs much, but still, you mentally always worry when you in the pocket about, is my knee gonna get hit? Well, you know. And also he was due for a contract extension, and that's going to be he lost a lot of money as a result of that injury.
Yep. But yeah, so I think everybody, for the most part, we've got some pretty good drafts. I think it's gonna be a balanced league. I looked at the grades, which is another cool thing Yahoo does, and for the most part, I'd say 60-70% of the league had at least a C in the draft. There's one guy that I think is predicted to go 0-12, which sucks for him.
Yeah, the lowest grade in the league, on paper, his team doesn't look terrible. He's got Calvin Johnson, Vincent Jackson, Deshaun Jackson, Cam Newton, Monty Ball, Toby Gerhardt, Jason Witten. It doesn't look terrible. But I don't know if that factors in that Gerhardt wasn't a starter last year, so his stats from last year won't be as impressive, and Monty Ball was sort of a part-time starter. But I don't think this team is that bad, actually.
No, I mean, as we've seen, week to week, anything can happen, so I'm looking forward to fantasy football this year. I think we'll have a good season.
Yeah, next Sunday. We're fastly approaching football season.
So this brings me to a wager that I'm going to propose to you, Marcus. And if you're down, we're going to propose it to Bill and Jamie from Mr. Throwback Thursday's podcast that are also in our fantasy league. And I think
Before we get to the wager, let me just mock your lead one more time here. So I'm looking at the schedule for my team, and I play the same team back-to-back weeks, week 3 and week 4.
Hey, one of them a rivalry week.
Ah, that's what it is. Yes.
Because I tried to make interesting rivalries.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that was the only thing that I think the schedule didn't come out exactly even.
So do you designate certain teams as rivals and then it generates a schedule?
Yeah. And so then, like, sometimes I have to go back after it generates a schedule and try to, like, because there was one team that played, I think Jamie played somebody 3 times and another person 0 times. So I wanted to make sure everybody played at least, everybody in the division at least once.
Okay.
And then everybody in the other division, or most of the teams in the other division at least once. But the rivalries, yeah, it mixed up the schedule a little bit. But I did want to create those, like, I think you and me play in a rivalry week.
Yeah, week 10.
Jamie and Bill play a rivalry. Then the host between the 4 of us, we play a rivalry week. I had to make sure the light skin bowl with you and Dennis Black and Asian was on the schedule.
By the way, I'm gonna call it now. You're going to defeat me in week 10
with Michael Vick at the helm.
No, a lot of my guys are on bye week around the same time, week 10.
Yeah, there was somebody in the league I think that picked like 7 or 8 Steelers.
Oh, that's stupid.
Yeah, and they're all on a bye, like I think week 7 or something like that.
Yeah, I have 4 starters who are on a bye week 10, so congratulations, Nate.
That could get ugly.
You can put it on the board.
But my wager, Marcus, we're going to do a show wager. You and me versus Bill and Jamie.
Okay.
And right now, in terms of Kings of Sport versus Mr. Throwback Thursday wages, we're already up 1-0.
Undefeated.
With the Stanley Cup wager. But I think what we should do is bet on which of the two hosts have the combined best record between Jamie and Bill and you and me.
So just regular season?
Yeah, just regular season. The playoffs don't count.
Okay.
Just regular season. Which show has the best combined record? The losers have to go on the winner's show and perform the other show's theme song.
Ooh.
Like Jamie and Bill would have to come on and do Down with the Kings, and we'd have to go on their show and do the Mr. Throwback Thursday theme song.
I'm down with this.
I think that'd be a good wager. Cause we ain't betting real money on nothing like
this.
Neither show is making money.
Yeah.
So we don't have money to bet on fantasy football, but we can bet theme songs.
I'm down. Did you talk to them about this yet or no?
I haven't talked to them yet. I wanted to run it by you first, but I'm gonna later tonight after we finish the show, I'm gonna send a message to Jamie and Bill and let them know the terms of the challenge, and we'll find out next week if they accept.
Okay. Yeah, I'm down.
So that'll be interesting. So if you're listening to both shows, The Kings of Sport and Mr. Throwback Thursday, then I'm sure you know Bill and Jamie's sense of humor. So I think they'll agree to this.
By the way, Bill hasn't paid up yet on his bet.
What's the deadline on that? How long does Bill have?
Hockey season starts early October, so he's had a few weeks.
I'll have to remind him.
They're like 6 weeks.
I'll have to remind him. So, yeah, Bill still owes Marcus. What was the bet? He has to take a picture in King's gear?
King's gear, yeah. Two-time Stanley Cup champion.
So that'll be great. So hopefully all of you are out there enjoying your fantasy football league. If you're in a league, if not, you know, you could have joined our league, but it's too late now. We've already got our requisite number of teams and characters. Like, I think I'll have to change the slogan for the league. It'd be like USA characters welcome. Cause like literally I can't, like we had, what was it last year? We had the guy that sent Paul that sent us the clip of the Alfred the Duck.
Oh yeah. The guy from Germany. Was he?
Yeah. 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 He's in the league again this year. He sent us the clip of, the duck for Alfred Kwawana, the German duck, the German black duck. And then we've got the Unabomber writing manifestos every week.
Yeah, I play him week two.
And if you lose, expect the manifesto.
Yeah.
I can't wait till Yahoo Fantasy Sports allows like video posts.
No.
Because I can just imagine him doing like a Willow style promo, Bray Wyatt. He's out in a cabin somewhere. Marcus Vandenberg, you call yourself a king of sport.
Mom's basement. I do appreciate his avatar, though. He's got the Brock Lesnar avatar from SummerSlam when he's holding both belts.
Yeah.
He's a two-time champion.
It's an improvement over Bray Wyatt, and he's got, yeah, the two-time champion thing, which works. So, yeah, he's going for a three-peat this year. We've got another guy in the league that won two titles that has not had some success lately. We've got Marcus and myself trying to uphold the honor of the show. We got Jamie and Bill for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We got Dennis trying to prove he's the best light-skinned fantasy football manager. It's a lot of storylines in this league.
Yeah, it's very deep.
Like, we could make our own version of that FX show, The League, with these characters. So, yeah, that is our fantasy football league. I'm looking forward to it. And if you're not playing fantasy, I think there's still time to sign up, man. Just do it. If you like football, it makes the games more interesting.
It really does.
Especially, like, if there's a Sunday where you're out of market and your game isn't on TV and you're watching, like, the Bengals and the Browns and Johnny Football's not playing. Fantasy football could make that game interesting.
Yeah, you'd have to sign up after the season starts, so you can sign up past week one, so you have time.
Yeah, so do it, and have fun. So, yeah, that's it for segment one. Coming up next, Marcus, we're going to talk about some college football, and I was trying to think of something catchy to say. Like, this transition is more awkward than Taylor Swift dancing.
Sure. I didn't watch the VMAs.
Oh, you didn't see the VMAs? Oh.
Nah. I'm 31, dog. I gotta move on at some point.
I thought you were a Beyonce stan, though. A closet Beyonce stan.
Nah, not so much.
You not down with Queen B?
Nah, but don't come after me on Twitter, though. I will block you.
Which they called her numerous times on the telecast. Coming up in 20 minutes, a performance from Queen B. No, stop it. So, Marcus and I are going to continue to be old and grumpy, and we'll be back with some college talk up next on the Kings of Sport.
Them fuck niggas over there, but they worry about me. I got a homeboy named Butter and another homeboy, that nigga named Cheese. Fuck with me, baby, I make it milk till it drip down your knees. Spit this shit for real low, brain real low. Kiddo say he looks up to me, this just makes me feel old. Never thought that we could become someone else's hero. Man, we were just in the food court, eating God get rose. Yesterday, that's the way, every single morning I try to pray. Grandmama and them, they never forgot, nothing else really mean nothing to me. I ain't studying to be, talking to me. Girl, why you fucking with me? Move on, ain't nothing to see. Shh. Always something to saw. I'm the raw, off the rip. Cause of him, all of them will remember. But the men, nut, they fell in love with rap. Black like having your cousin back. Blue like when that rent is due. Cream like when I'm loving you. Yeah.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly from Ring of Honor Wrestling. Make sure you check out The Kevin Kelly Show each and every week, placetobenation.com. We'll be talking about wrestling in the past and wrestling today, plus be talking about all kinds of sports and pop culture, whatever's on your mind, too. We'll answer your questions each and every week. The Kevin Kelly Show, right here, placetobenation.com.
Sorry to keep you waiting. Now let's get back to the world's most dangerous sports show. It's the Kings of Sport. TheKingsOfSport.com. Welcome back to the Kings of Sport. Nate and Marcus holding it down. Just chatting about some pigskin. And it's time, Marcus. It is time to talk. Some college football, man.
It's the best time of the year.
I mean, I am a full disclosure. I am someone who doesn't have a team in the fight. I mean, I kind of root for Virginia Tech just based out of region. And then, you know, I like the colors. I like the gear. But I'm not somebody that's Roll Tide, War Eagle. I'm not dyed in the wool. So I just enjoy the pageantry of college football. And this year, there's a goal for more than just two teams out there. We got playoffs, Marcus.
It's about damn time.
Like, I don't know why college football hasn't called up your boy Mora to be like the figurehead of this whole initiative and just use him on every piece of advertising or marketing.
Playoffs.
Just have him pop out like from behind Bob Stoops. Playoffs? You're talking about playoffs. But yeah, this will be very cool. I mean, we've got, this is like, I think eight teams to me is the perfect number, but I think four teams is much better than what we had.
Yeah, I think four is a good number to start. And then if there's really a high demand for eight, then, you know, that'd be an extra game for two teams. So I think four is a number to start off at.
Yeah, and there's a lot of intriguing storylines heading into this season. We've got our first preseason top 25 poll, and you know, just kind of go down the top 10 right quick. We've got the reigning and defending champions, the Florida State Seminoles at number one, the Alabama Crimson Tide at number 2, Ohio State at number 3, Oklahoma at 4, Auburn at 5, Oregon at 6, UCLA at 7, Georgia at 8, South Carolina at number 9, and Baylor at number 10. Any of those teams surprised you, or do you think somebody else should have been in that top 10?
Well, this poll, or all these polls came out before the Brad Smith injury, so Ohio State's the first thing that stands out, because without their starting quarterback, they're going to eventually tumble, I believe. They're going for redshirt freshman to start the season. So I think they'll be the first team that you'll see slide off the top 10. South Carolina gets an early test on Thursday against Texas A&M. Texas A&M is doing, you know, this is the post-Johnny Manziel era, so I'm curious to see what they can do in College Station without Manziel. But South Carolina's always been a team where they've sort of hung around the top 10, but haven't really able to get over the hump. And part of that is playing in the SEC. They're, you know, in one of the toughest divisions in college football. So I'm curious to see what they can do. And, you know, coming off last season's success in the Rose Bowl and everything, Michigan State, now if Ohio State's sort of out of the picture, the Spartans are the favorites to now win the Big Ten. And I'm curious to see if they can rebound or continue up on their success from last season.
Yeah, again, big blow for Ohio State losing Braxton Miller. But I'd like to start with the top two teams, because they are the most interesting to me. One is the Florida State Seminoles. Of course, you got Jameis Winston coming back with a loaded offense and a schedule that, once again, is pretty favorable. They've got a shot at going undefeated again. And then you got Tricky Nicky, as Poppy Lepetard would say, Nick Saban and the Alabama Crimson Tide at number 2, and they're always a threat. They've had this extended run of success. Do you think that these are going to be the two teams that we see standing tall at the end of the year, or possibly do you see them falling off?
Oh, I see Alabama falling off finally this year.
So you think this is the year where the run comes to an end?
Yep. They still don't have a starting quarterback. They announced on Monday that they have co-starting quarterbacks for their opener, which is never a good sign. That's not what you want to hear from your coach going into week one. Even if it's West Virginia, you know, they are, I think, like a 28-point favorite against West Virginia on Saturday. But you got to have a quarterback. And their system, I mean, you never really had great quarterbacks. Greg McElroy won a title with Alabama. And he's, you know, doing college football radio now at this point. So you just need somebody. And I'm not sure if that's because they don't know who that guy's going to be yet, but I think this is the year that Alabama's finally, you see them losing 2-3 times. It wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah, I think they could take a step back this year before kind of revving back up the following season. But yeah, the quarterback position is going to be interesting. You got a competition between the senior Blake Sims and, you know, the new arrival, Jacob Coker, who came from Florida State. He was Jameis Winston's backup. And what's the old saying? When you got two quarterbacks, you got none.
Yeah.
And even if you're as genius or diabolical to some schools as Nick Saban can be, that's going to be a problem. And the SEC, you know, they're not going to weep for Alabama. You know, this is a dog eat dog league, and I think that just a war of attrition making it through that conference, it's going to be tough for Alabama to get back to a national championship or even get into the 14 playoff.
Yeah, I mean, they at least did Auburn at home this year, but they have to do it at LSU, at Ole Miss, and then they host Texas A&M at home along with Florida. So they have a couple tricky road games, and also Auburn, you know, coming off last season in the Iron Bowl. So that should be interesting to see how it plays out with Alabama. But I think this is the year they finally, you know, it all catches up to him. But I don't expect them, like you mentioned, to be down that long. I think next season they'll bounce right back. But until they figure out what to do at quarterback, you know, TJ Yeldon can't do it all at running back. So
no, and let's talk about what you really wanted to talk about, Marcus. I know, you didn't even have to say it, man. I know the only reason you really want to talk college football this week, other than it is kicking off, is your Pac-12, who has, at the moment,
the mighty Pac-12,
six teams in the top 25, Oregon, UCLA, Stanford, USC, Arizona State, and Washington.
Actually, did you mention Arizona State?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
You have Arizona State at number 16, Washington at number 24.
Which poll are you reading? I'm seeing AP and USA Today have different numbers than you.
I'm going with the Athlon Sports Athlon Sports top 25, man.
That's like some. That's not the official poll.
This is official.
It's not official when it comes to playoffs.
This is as official as it gets from AthlonSports.com.
Yeah.
So where do they have Arizona State?
AP has 19. USA Today has 18. Yeah, but all sits are in the top 25 in both polls.
Okay. See, so why you hating on Athlon then, man? They got the same. They got maybe they're in different spots, but they got the same basic outcome.
Those spots are important when it comes to end of the season.
Well, you only got four spots, so all six of these teams can't get in. Which of these teams, you know, of course you got Oregon and Marcus Mariota. Which of these teams, other than Oregon maybe, do you think has the best shot? And I know this is where your USC fandom might kick in.
Yeah.
fight on, Marcus. Fight on.
Fight on. We'll get to USC in a second. UCLA has a tough schedule, but I think everyone in the Pac-12, you know, that'll be the common theme this season is a tough schedule. But they do get Texas before they get into Pac-12 play. So that'll be their first big test to see if this UCLA team is actually worthy of a top 10 ranking or not. They follow that game up with a road matchup at Arizona State. They also get Oregon this year, and they close out with three top 25 teams at Washington and then home against USC and Stanford. So if they somehow get through the gauntlet of the Pac-12 and survive, then I think definitely they could be in play for one of those four playoff spots based on their tough schedule. But I've seen this UCLA story before where you have this team with high hopes and high expectations and they're, you know, this close to making the title game. Do you remember I believe it was the 1997 or 1999 UCLA Bruins team that had to play Miami at the end of the season?
No, I don't recall that, Marcus. I don't recall.
They were scheduled to play Miami early in the year. The game got postponed due to a hurricane.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And
they
had to play the game like in December, and Edgerrin James just destroyed them.
Yes.
And if they won, they would have made the. It was 1988. If they would have won, they would have made the national title game essentially, and they had to defeat Miami, a pissed off Miami team that just wrecked them. So, I would like to say UCLA will have a shot at making the Final Four, but I'm just until it happens, I'm not buying it. I think Oregon though. With Mariota coming back and sort of the way they sort of reload on offense every year with different guys, I think they have the best shot to represent the Pac-12 in the playoff system. They did Stanford at home. They have to travel to UCLA. And they did Michigan State at home. If they can beat Michigan State week two, I think that'll set the tone for the direction of this team for the rest of the year. And after that, their one big road test would be at UCLA. If they can get by the Bruins and Michigan State, I think they're in good shape to make the playoffs.
It's going to be pretty tough. I think the saving grace is kind of the blessing and the curse of this conference is if you come through the conference, then you're going to be battle-tested and you should have a pretty good ranking beating those teams. But, you know, if you're someone like an Oregon or UCLA that has a high ranking and high hopes, it can be very easy to lose one of those rivalry games against NSC or against, you know, Washington.
Yeah, and in the conference itself, it's a little more balanced this year. In the past, the Pac-12 South was more of a joke because it was pretty much UCLA, USC, and everyone else. But Arizona State is ranked. So I think you have three ranked teams in both the North and the South this season, so it'll be a little more balanced. And as for the Trojans, I don't know what to expect from them, to be honest. New coach this season, they're ranked 15.
The Sarkisian era.
Yeah. They're very deep at running back. They're very deep at wide receiver. I still have questions about Cody Kessler as the starting quarterback, but I really don't know what to expect. If they went 7-5, it wouldn't surprise me. If they went 10-2, it wouldn't surprise me. So I'm just curious to see how the season plays out.
Yeah, I think it'll be very interesting. Let's kind of play a game of what if. Granted, it's extremely early, but as of right now, Marcus, who would be your picks to be the final four in that playoff for the College Football National Championship?
Florida State. Oregon. I guess there'd be someone from the SEC that'll bubble up. I guess South Carolina. So I'm not really buying Nick Marshall and Auburn. This might be the year that Spurrier finally gets through. And the last spot's interesting. I don't know if they're going to reward one of those teams that somehow from a lower conference goes undefeated, but really hasn't played anyone, or if they're going to stick to having one of the power teams.
Right.
So off the top of my head, I'm going to toss out, I'll go Michigan State. I think with Ohio State not being Ohio State this year and their schedule, the only tough game really right now is Oregon, week two. I think even with one loss against Oregon, if they can run the table the rest of the season, they stand a good shot of sort of sneaking in there. So I'll go Michigan State.
Okay, so you got Florida State, Oregon, Michigan State.
South Carolina.
And South Carolina, okay. It's not bad. I'm going to agree with your first two picks in Florida State and Oregon. SEC is tough, much like the Pac-12. I like the old ball coach, but I think I'm going to lean towards Georgia right now. So I'm going Florida State, Oregon, Georgia, and that fourth team. I like your pick of Michigan State, Marcus. I like your pick of Michigan State. I'll go Michigan State, but I will put an asterisk out there, a team that could do some damage, and they have a matchup with Florida State towards the latter part of the season, and that's Notre Dame, who's hanging out there. And I'm not the biggest fan of the Irish, but we know how voters love Notre Dame, and if they go into that Florida State game undefeated, anything can happen. So, but as of right now, I'm going to go Florida State, Oregon, Georgia, and Michigan State.
All right.
Yeah, baby.
So, yeah, those are our picks.
By the way, we'll know about Georgia real quick because they did. Yeah. They opened Saturday against Clemson, and then the following, or 2 weeks later, they did at South Carolina. So one of our teams will be knocked out real early.
Yep, we will know soon enough. That's kind of the beauty of college football.
Yeah.
Like by the time you get to week 4 or 5, you don't know who's in necessarily, but you know who's out.
Yeah.
So those are our picks as of right now. If you agree or disagree, hit us up on the Facebook page, facebook.com/thekingsofsport, and let us know your thoughts. But I don't think the college football talk is going to end here this week, Marcus. I think we may have some more coming up for segment 4.
Yeah, I think we're done this week.
Yeah.
What else should it be discussed?
I don't know. There's nothing going on in your neck of the woods.
Nope.
Stick and stay, because segment four is on the way.
Swipers can't swipe me. My whole aura so mean in my white tee. Nobody light-skinned it reppin' harder than iced tea. You disagree, take the Tyson approach and bite me.
Whoa, don't slip up or get cut.
Why not, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right.
Woo! Rappers swearing they own tub. But I'm coming for that number one spot.
All right, man.
Scheme, scheme, plot, plot.
Say what?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Woo!
Hey, keep it going, it won't stop.
What you doing, man?
I'm coming for that number one spot.
Yes, indeed, Ludacris, I'm hotter than Nevada. Ready to break the steering column on your Impala. If I get caught, bail out Popo, I tell him holla. In court, I never show up like Austin Powers, Faja. Father, father, and hey, I love gold. But can buy anything I want from the records I've sold.
It's not just any day. It's Mr. Throwback Thursday.
Hey, everybody. You remember when hip-hop was full of dope MCs, fly DJs, and human beatboxes? We do, too. My name is Jamie Robinson, and people call me Mr. Throwback Thursday. And along with my co-host, Bill Winters, we take you back to that better time. So come join us every Throwback Thursday for some classic hip-hop discussion, a few tunes, and check in on some people you thought weren't even out there anymore. You can get us on iTunes, Stitcher, and always at our Facebook page at facebook.com/TheMrTBT, or just search for Mr. Throwback Thursday. We're the only one out there. And always remember, new school stale, old school fresh.
Welcome back to the world's most dangerous sports show. Follow the danger online at facebook.com/thekingsofsport.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
And we are back on the Kings of Sport, ready to close up shop for yet another week. But before we do, you know we got to give you what you want. We got to give you what you need. And that is the often imitated but never ever duplicated segment four. It's our weekly segment where we take a look at sort of the ratchetness and the craziness in the world of sports and pop culture. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's sad. Sometimes it's more awkward than Chris Bosh photobombing Matthew McConaughey at the Emmys. I don't know if you saw that picture, Marcus.
No, I didn't see that.
Oh, you gotta check it out. Just Google Chris Bosh McConaughey at the Emmys, and it's like Bosh is just in this all white tux in the background, just like, "What about me, guys?" Like doing his best Chris Bosh awkward face.
What was he doing at the Emmys?
I don't know why he was at the Emmys, but him and his wife went to the Emmys, and he just kind of snuck into the photo, as Chris Bosh is known to do, and showed up behind Matthew McConaughey. He's like, "All right, all right, all right." Eh. Yeah. Like, I can't wait for this NBA season, because Chris Bosh is now, by default, the star of the Miami Heat.
Dwayne Wade.
And I'm sure we're going to...
Dwayne Wade's still the star of that team.
He's the bigger name, but in terms of who's going to be the most productive player, I think it's still Bosh. So I think we're going to get a lot more of these Bosh celebrity sightings, which can't be anything but good.
Remember, Wade was more productive part-time last year than Bosh was full-time.
Yeah, but you got to think, that was with LeBron, though. Now, the offense is, for the most part, I think it's going to have to go through Bosh. It's going to be more like we saw the Bosh in Toronto.
Now, that's what you hope. That's what you hope to see. Instead of Bosh, the small forward.
But yeah, Bosh, the jump shooter.
Yeah.
So we'll see about the Heat. But we're going to talk about segment four. We got a lot of great stories. But before we get into that, Marcus, I do have one point to bring up for you, one quibble from last segment, where you scoffed at the legitimacy of the good people at Athlon Sports.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why I'm loyal to those people, Marcus. I don't know about you. We're close to the same age, but I used to play a lot of the EA Sports football games growing up.
Me too.
And one of my favorite games were the NCAA games.
Rest in peace.
But there was a problem with the NCAA games. None of the players had their names on it.
This is correct.
And this is before the age where the internet was so prevalent. There had to be a way to find the rosters for all these teams and fill them out team by team.
We did the same thing then.
Like every night I would go to the conference and go through each team in the conference, fill out the rosters, and then probably after about a week and a half, I'd have the entire thing done and I could finally start playing the game.
You're just as sad as me.
So for that, I will always be thankful to Athlon Sports. And every year they have like the cheerleader pictorial where they're like, here's Becky from Duke. She's a pre-med and she likes kickstands. Way to go, Becky.
Yep, and that's why I can't take their poll seriously.
Hey, you gotta have some sizzle to go with the steak. Which brings us to segment four. And like we alluded to, there may or may not be a developing story in your neck of the woods, Marcus.
Breaking news, it's sunny outside in Los Angeles.
It is. I was going to say something about it's a nice day to take a dip, but considering the story, I don't know if I want to go there.
Yeah. So USC cornerback Josh Shaw. There's a story that came out late Monday that said he would be out indefinitely with two high ankle sprains after he jumped from a second-floor balcony to save his drowning 7-year-old nephew from a pool. Story sounded great on paper. Everyone was applauding Josh Shaw for what he did. And 12 hours later, USC started to backpedal on the story, and they claimed Monday that they vetted the story before they posted it on their website, but now it sounds like the story was not true at all, and we don't know the correct version of the story yet. The one that's been floating around the internet is it was a, this is all reportedly, allegedly, that he was involved in a domestic abuse situation and he jumped from a third story window while running from the LAPD. The LAPD is supposed to release a statement at some point this afternoon, pretty soon, as we're recording here. But that would be the opposite of trying to rescue your drowning 7-year-old nephew. So,
Yeah, I got to say, when I first heard the initial story, I was like, oh, that's cool. But then it didn't take long for the kind of the BS filter, the spidey sense to start tingling. You know, just, you know, I'm an uncle. My nieces were in town this past weekend. My mom was ordained as a minister, so the family was in town. We had a great time. And, you know, I love my nieces. They're independent. They've got their own personalities. But as grown as they think they are sometimes, I probably wouldn't leave them alone. Or, you know, I'm upstairs two stories above them, and they're just down at the pool by themselves. That probably wouldn't happen, Marcus.
Yeah, and as someone pointed out, the timing of the story, based on where he was in terms of being on campus, and the timing, you know, he would have to drive out to Palmdale, which is a good 90 minutes from Los Angeles. The event that he was at ended in the evening, so this would have happened late at night that the 7-year-old would have been in the pool, which doesn't seem believable at all. And then, as we learned from The Wire, from Omar, who jumped from a balcony, jumping from the second story, you're probably not going to injure both ankles, you know? That's not high enough, I don't think.
Right.
We saw Omar jump from, at least, what, the third floor? Omar could have played week 2. He could have suited up. So the second floor, I was like, oh, that's weird. I mean, how big are these floors that he would injure both ankles to the point where he couldn't play jumping from the second floor? I mean, it was too good to be true, I guess.
Yeah, now you're obviously a lot closer to this story than I am. And, you know, Josh Shaw, I guess he's a senior on the team. He was one of the captains.
Yeah, he's a fifth-year senior. He had a petition for a fifth year because he had some injuries.
Is he the type of guy that's been in and out of trouble, or is this something that seems out of character?
Yeah, out of character. Totally out of character, which is why everyone, I think, was easy or quick to believe what he was saying, because he is one of the most respected guys on the team as part of the reason why he's captain this season. So I don't think anyone, he didn't give any reason to question the story. So.
Yeah, if he's running from the cops and ended up jumping out of a third story balcony to evade the police or evade arrest, it's not a good look. It's not a good look at all. And it makes you wonder what was going on I guess you said the domestic abuse, like this. It seems like things got real bad real quick, and it escalated to a point beyond his control, and it's just a bad situation all the way around, both on the field and off the field, for this guy's life going forward.
Yeah, I mean, and it seems like, if we don't know about the domestic abuse, but it seems like by now they could have verified that, because if he was arrested between now and this past weekend, there's a record of that. So the fact that that hasn't come out yet makes me wonder if it was a domestic abuse situation, or if he was running from the cops, or who knows at this point. We really don't know what the truth is, unfortunately. And I don't think USC knows at this point what the truth is, until they find out from Josh Shaw. I think we're all going to sort of be speculating and guessing what actually happened. But we do know he won't be playing anytime soon because of the injuries. He's got two high ankle sprains for his ankle, so he'll be out at least a few weeks.
Yeah, and then just kind of one last thing on this. Like, neither one of us knows the complete details of the story, and I'm not a journalist, never claimed to be. I'm an opinion giver. I'm a broadcaster. But just from being in college and having dealings with the authorities while in college, this whole story seems like there was either some drugs and or alcohol involved, because I don't see a perfectly sane and rational person jumping out of a building to evade capture unless they're like under the influence of something.
Yeah, not from the third story. That's not when your profession, your job is not profession because they don't get paid, but when you're going to school to play football and you rely on your legs and your ankles and your feet, maybe, just maybe, jumping from the third floor isn't a good idea.
Like, you are not Captain America, brother.
Not the week before football season, by the way.
Like, jumping out of the third-story window is not going to end well. You're not going to hit the ground and tuck and roll and hop up like everything's fine.
Yeah.
So, hopefully everything turns out okay in that story. But like you said, the kid's in school, and hopefully that'll work out for him. But somebody who, according to 50 Cent, probably should have stayed in school is a frequent guest here, or a frequent person of interest during segment four, and that is one Floyd Money Mayweather.
He's back, unfortunately.
I think Floyd may have the most appearances. He's past Kanye. He's past Rob Ford. Like, he may be the official leader in the clubhouse for segment four.
I think so. Yeah, so as you've probably seen by now, this whole 50 Cent Floyd Mayweather beef, which started with some comments Floyd made on the radio, sort of alluded to 50 Cent being washed up and done. Floyd fired back below the belt, questioning if Floyd Mayweather could actually read and if he was illiterate. And Floyd got the last laugh by tweeting out a picture over the weekend that said, "Read this." And it was a photo of his last two checks from his fights that equaled $75 million. So if you haven't heard the audio from the Breakfast Club of Floyd trying to read the liners or the drops, it is tough to listen to, because he's struggling to get through what I think is a pretty basic paragraph they want him to read. And you can't do it. And I don't know enough to say, based on what I heard, if he's actually illiterate or not, because he is able to, he knows enough to actually read the words, but it's just sort of a matter of trying to string them all together in one sentence. So, I don't want to say if he can read or not, but what I found fascinating out of the story was, you know, we talked about Floyd back in July when the Deadspin story came out, and people were quick to, rightfully so, to criticize Floyd for his domestic abuse past. But I felt a lot of people were on Floyd's side when the story came out about sort of, you know, 50 Cent going after him for not being able to read. I felt like he had a lot of supporters, and a lot of the same people who were criticizing Floyd last month were actually defending Floyd this month, which made me beg the question, was this the best thing that could happen to Floyd before his fight next month?
Yeah, it's very hard to turn Floyd Mayweather into a sympathetic figure, but I think 50 Cent may have done that. Yeah. I mean, 50 is kind of brilliant when it comes to ginning up PR, whether it's throwing a terrible first pitch or you know, challenging people to contest to see who can sell the most records or anything to keep himself relevant. I think the first thing he did was he challenged him to read a page out of a Harry Potter book without stopping, which is just funny in and of itself. Then he lowered the challenge to reading The Cat in the Hat. I heard the clip, of course, from The Breakfast Club. I listen, you know, a lot of the time, not every day, but I'm a fan of their work. And of course, you know, with Charlamagne, that was kind of the ringleader of playing the clip. And, you know, it, like you said, it wasn't the toughest read in the world. It was, I think Charlamagne read it and it took him like 15, 20 seconds to do the whole thing. When you hear the clip, it's obvious that he knows the words. But I think there was somebody that called into the show. In fact, it was like a speech pathologist, and they were like, he knows the words, but it's a matter of, you know, connecting from his brain to his mouth. And some people just aren't comfortable reading out loud.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, you know, he's not, I don't, she was like, she doesn't think he's illiterate, but she does think there may be, you know, some difficulties there in terms of his cognitive learning skills. But as Floyd mentioned, you know, he got the last laugh. You know, I may not be able to read as fast as others, but, you know, this money talks. This read this. You know, this money is evidence that, you know, I can do something.
Yeah, I mean, he's a great talker. When he's in front of a microphone, he can talk. He speaks fine. He's not reading off of a teleprompter or anything like that. He's sort of just speaking from the heart and from the head. But yeah, you, you know, I mean, when I think illiterate, I think not being able to process or read any words, period. But he didn't do that.
Yeah.
So I don't think calling him or trying to label him as illiterate is the right term. And as you mentioned, it could be something else that we don't know about that's going on. But, you know, this is a guy who I believe dropped out of high school and he's been, you know, boxing most of his life. You know, education of, you know, the education that we have accustomed as being the quote unquote, you know, way to go in terms of going to school and college. He's had a different education. His education has been in the ring. His education has been, you know, growing up in Grand Rapids on the streets of Michigan. And unfortunately, his education has been also behind bars, where I'm sure he's learned a lot from his time in prison. So, yeah, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to defend Floyd for this whole 50 Cent thing, but at the same time, I'm not going to label and attack him for the clip.
I agree. Like, it's like, what kind of world are we living in where we're almost on the side of Floyd Mayweather? Like, that's not a place I tend to be most times.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you're right. You know, it's, if you, and I know you can't, especially after the Deadspin article, but just in the context of this particular discussion, like, if you look at Floyd's life and, like you said, the lack of quote-unquote formal education that he had, like, you know, you can't knock the guy for what he's made of his life.
No, not at all. I mean, he, you know, all things considering, he's done quite well for himself. He has served his time for the crimes he's committed in the past, and you know, the last, I guess, been 2 years now, he's sort of been clean and out of the headlines as much as he can be outside of this whole T.I. thing that he's sort of got himself into. So I think the older he gets, the more mature he has become, and the more he understands that, you know, what he did in his late 20s, early 30s is, you know, something he should probably move away from and sort of, you know, focus on the rest of his career, and eventually the next part of his career, which would be post-boxing or post-in-the-ring boxing. I still see him being involved in the business, but eventually he's going to have to retire at some point.
Yeah, and I could see with his demeanor, you know, maybe a promoter or a commentator or something, but I definitely see him staying within the sport.
Yeah, maybe other promotions, I think, will go on. So I think he'll be in the promoting business, and sort of like Oscar was with Golden Boy. I think we'll see Floyd transition into a similar role.
I agree. So in this one instance, keep your head up, Floyd.
And by the way, Charlamagne, you know, that's, I wouldn't have released that tape, you know. I think.
Yeah, it was a, I understand, like, it's attention for the show, but at the same time, it was a little low.
Yeah, it's a little low, and, you know, let's not forget, Floyd's had a past. That's not a dude I would want to upset. And
like, Floyd and a dude with the money briefcase will be seeing you.
Yeah, you know. I would stay out of Vegas for the next month or two because...
You thought he had a long reach in the ring. His reach outside the ring extends that.
Yeah, he's got people who take the rap for him.
Yeah, no doubt. So yeah, maybe in the short run, it's some press for the Breakfast Club, but in the long run, maybe not the best career move.
Yeah, no.
Well, speaking of career moves, Marcus, heard any good Suge Knight stories lately?
Heard about this time over the weekend that he was at this party. By the way, Suge Knight's not going to die. I've determined that you can't kill Suge Knight. He will live. He will outlive us all. Doesn't matter how many bullets you fire at him.
If you're in your bathroom and you turn off the lights and say his name three times to show up in the mirror,
yeah,
he's the candy man.
I mean, this dude took at least, what, 6 shots over the weekend at a party?
Yeah.
And was still able to, like, move around and wide. He wasn't laid out. No, he was still on his feet somewhat. I mean, he was – you can't kill him. You can't kill him.
And the party, let's specify, it was a party thrown by Chris Brown, who, if you're Chris Brown and you talk about, you know, Floyd kind of going away from his indiscretions of his youth and his early 30s, Chris Brown, I understand, you know, he's got to live his life and he's trying to make amends for some of the things he's done. Kicking it with Suge Knight probably is not going to be the most beneficial way to make amends and start a new life.
Well, I don't know if that was him kicking it with Suge. I mean, he could have just invited whoever and Suge showed up.
Suge just showed up?
I think the issue was Chris Brown's out here trying to pretend he's something that he's not. And, you know, when you're out here wearing red bandanas and throwing up gang signs, then you're going to lump yourself in that crowd. And whether you're involved or not, it's not going to matter to the person with the gun. So I think that's the real issue with the story.
That's a good point. I mean, you know, Chris Brown, you keep it real, man. You'll do. You're from Virginia. You're from not even from Norfolk or Virginia Beach. You're from Tappahannock. Like, come on, fam. Like, for those that do not know about Tappahannock, it's pretty rural. And I don't know. Like I've lived, and maybe I have a different perspective than some other people in Virginia because I've actually lived in California, lived on the West Coast, had exposure to quote-unquote actual gang members. That, you know, there seems to be this thing, and I've got a crazy story about, I used to live in an apartment about 4 or 5 years ago, and across the street there was another apartment complex, and there was this young Filipino kid. Mm-hmm. He's probably, you know, 19 or 20, and he called himself a blood. And, you know, I've been around real Bloods. I've been around real Crips. And I'm like, no, you're not. You're not a Blood. Man, not that that's something that should be aspired to anyway. But he's like, yeah, man, I'm a Blood. My OG about to come through tonight. So I'm like, okay. I'm over there kicking with him. He's like, his OG's about to come through. So I'm expecting somebody, you know, my age, maybe older. His OG was 23 years old. Like, the person that is teaching you and mentoring you in the ways of this gang is 2 years older than you. Like, come on. Like, these aren't real gang members. And again, not that being in a real gang is a badge of honor, but I don't know what it is. Maybe it's just these kids want to feel part of something. They want to feel like they belong to something, that they belong to a cause. But yeah, Chris Brown is going to get himself into trouble if he continues, you know, to try to identify with something that in his heart he truly isn't.
Yeah, it's going to get him in trouble and or killed at this rate, because you're rolling with Should, a Blood, and you got the Game Around, a Blood, and you're performing with a red bandana on. It's just like, I don't get it. And plus, he's still on probation. I mean, yeah, you would think you would stay clean and stay out of trouble until this probation is over with, but no, he's still doing what he does. And he's not the only one, by the way. Justin Bieber was also in trouble Monday night.
I was going to say, yes.
He's like trying to one-up Chris Brown here. Also on probation.
Yeah. Any news on Lil Za? What's up with Lil Za? Is he out?
He took the rap. I don't know.
Free Lil Za.
Could you imagine Bieber in jail?
Talk about awkward showers.
Yeah. I mean, Chris Brown, that was no thing for him, I think. But Bieber...
Yeah.
That, yeah.
Like, so you want to be down.
Yeah, we'll show you.
You want to be street. This isn't Oz. You just can't turn this off.
No.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's like the weirdest thing about it is that these entertainers, for the most part, have what the gang members covet: security, financial wealth, material possessions, status. But Chris Brown, there's something in him that is like, I don't feel good enough with this stuff that I got, so I'm going to align myself with these cats. You're doing it wrong. Yeah. You're doing it backwards.
Backwards, man.
Like, you don't go from somebody with $1 million in the bank to, I want to hang with these street dudes because I want that life. No, they want your life.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to switch lives with somebody, I'll switch lives with you, Chris Brown. Do that every week. We can switch right now. Be the Kings of Sport with Marcus and Chris.
Oh boy.
Oh, how fast would you be calling Alfred's cell phone?
Man, segment two, be Alfred on the phone.
Like, you know what, Big Nasty? In light of recent events, come on home. Oh man, but yeah, this is people crazy. On the one hand, I hope Chris Brown gets his life together, but on the other hand, as long as he wants to be a knucklehead, that's more fodder for us to talk about each and every week.
Yeah, I mean, at some point, either he's going to be back in jail or seriously hurt at this rate, both of them. They continue
to... It's a waste. Like, I'm not saying Chris Brown is Michael Jackson or Stevie Wonder, but I watched the MTV VMAs this past week, you know, kind of going back and forth between the football game, and just in terms of talent, Chris Brown is talented than probably 75, 80% of the people that were getting praised on that show.
Yeah.
And he's wasting it.
Yeah, I mean, he's only, what is he, 25 yet, if that?
It's 25, yeah.
25, yeah.
Yep, turned 25 in May. So yeah. It's like, yeah, you got the rest of your life, the rest of your career, man. And singing is not like being an athlete. Like, it doesn't end at 30 or 35. Like, you could make records for the rest of your life, get paid for the rest of your life if you play it smart.
Yeah.
New Edition came into town a couple months ago on like some one of those R&B festivals. Like if Bobby Brown's still catching a check, Chris Brown could catch a check 20 years from now.
Oh, Bobby.
Bobby, like real quick, New Edition. Like I've always loved New Edition, but seeing New Edition now is funny because Bobby knows what he can do at his age. Bobby ain't doing none of the steps. Bobby ain't doing none of the dances. Bobby's standing on the side of the stage, sometimes on a stool, singing his part. Then he dips it in the back, gets some water, and then comes back out when it's time for him to sing again.
I'm surprised he even does that much.
Like Bobby Brown, like that's how you do it, man. That's how, like one of my friends shared with me this clip of, I think they were singing, one of the old New Edition songs, maybe like A Little Bit of Love or Candy Girl, and they had the steps. And Bobby, you know, because that was right before Bobby left the group. So Bobby sang his part. He walked off stage, and then Johnny got in there, and then they were all doing their New Edition steps, got the choreography working. Then they came to one part where all they did was move from side to side. Bobby slides back in at the end of the stage and does the little side-to-side dance. like he was out there the whole time. Like, oh, I give you an A for effort on that one, Bobby. Like, he like, I'm too old and cracked out to be doing all these steps. I'm gonna handle what I know.
Gotta pace yourself.
That's a lesson for us all. Sometimes you gotta stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Don't try to be something you're not. If all you can do is a two-step, then do a two-step.
Be the best two-stepper out there.
Thank you for that life lesson, Bobby Brown. Oh man, yeah, this is a good show this week, Marcus.
Yeah, good show. It was, anything else before our awkward transition to the end?
Oh well, let's get out of here while we still have a connection. That's it for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. But we will be back next week with an all-new episode of the show. But before we get out of here, Marcus, why don't you let the people know where they can hit you up and let you know what they think about your college football picks.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Marco Will, MarcoWill.
You can follow me at N8, MozaiK, Nate Mosaic, which has my Twitter account has finally passed 1,000 followers.
There you go.
So thank you, everybody. I don't know if I get a cake or some credits. Do I get anything for this? A T-shirt?
Nope.
Twitter should do that, though. Like, they should actually start making prizes, like little cheap prizes.
Nah, it's very like forced wear. They're above that.
Oh, Twitter's above that.
Yeah.
Twitter's above that. Okay. But you can follow me at N8, MozaiK, Nate Mosaic on Twitter. Follow the show at Kospod, KOS_POD on Twitter. Check out the Facebook page. Get involved in the conversation. Facebook.com/ The Kings of Sport. Like, rate, and review the show on iTunes as well as Stitcher. Shout out to Place to Be Nation. The Kings of Sport is powered by PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture. And that's about, you can check me out on Tuesdays on Pipe Bomb Radio. I'm part of the Pipe Bomb crew now, and we have an interview show, and we talk to different people in the wrestling industry. So, yeah, it's good times. So I think that's all the plugs I got.
Nothing on my end.
So, for Marcus Vanderberg, I am the Godfather, Nate Milton. Keep on reading, Floyd. And you've been down with the Kings.
Well, that's all for this week's edition of the Kings of Sport. Be sure to come back next week for an all-new episode. You can leave feedback for the show on Twitter at KOS_POD or via Gmail at thekingsofsport@gmail.com. Don't forget to like and rate us on iTunes and tell a friend. The Kings of Sport is a production of the Mosaic Podcast Network.
Whether you like it or not, he's back. D-A-double-D-Y, that's X.
Riding in the Cadillac, being nice and beat it up again. Young J.L.K. What's your one-stop home for your pop culture needs? Of course, PlaceToBeNation.com. We have everything you could ask for when it comes to pop culture. Now first, wrestling. We're definitely your hookup for all show recaps, including Raw, SmackDown, Impact, Ring of Honor, all of WWE's other programs as well. We have previews, live blogs, breakdowns for all WWE and UFC pay-per-views. You want sports? No problem. Place to Be Nation has extensive articles on football, basketball, MMA, boxing, and baseball. From Andrew Reich's history lessons to the return of the hack to the Cowboys call, we have the best and comprehensive sports knowledge and opinions. With a loaded staff of hardcore pop culture writers, we also specialize in comics, TV, music, movie pieces. Of course, you can't forget Jen and Justin's journey through the 90s. You want podcasts? Well, look no further than Place to Be Nation, the home for the best catalog and variety of shows you'll find anywhere on the net. There's the Place to Be podcast, where the big boys play, the Brad and Chad show, Wrestling with the Past, Titans of Wrestling, Goodwill Wrestling, Richard and the Mailman, Grapple Talk, and the Kings of Sport with our good friend Nate Milton. Want to take a second to thank our supporters and ask you to check out their great sites. Graham Cawthon and the History of WWE.com, a complete archive of wrestling shows throughout history. Also, our friend Dave at TWFNews.com, your home for wrestling news updates and great conversation. Also, check out PileDriverWrestling.net for all the latest wrestling news and the home of the great Old School Wrestling Review podcast and much more. And while you're at it, if you want to chat with fellow fans about wrestling's past and present, check out Scott Keith's blog at RSPWFAQ.com. So for everything you need, your pop culture fix, check out PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in the pop culture world.